Happy New Year and welcome to the first edition of Clan Chat in 2020. Have we missed anything? I'm Craig Anderson and we'll bring you right up to speed with what's been happening with the club in the last few weeks, where we've seen games won, games lost, a player leaves, and excitement building for one special night. You'll get all of that as we bring you chats with three former Clan players coming back to play in the Matt Haywood testimonial next month. Josh Greaveson, Mike Will and Shane Lust will be with us as the game itself is just a matter of weeks away. Plus, we catch up with head coach Zach Fitzgerald after a busy festive period and get his take on the team and the games that have taken place and will be taking place this weekend. Also, you may have heard it already, but we have the interview with Scott Jacklin after he left the club at the turn of the year to return to Canada. Stay tuned. You're listening to Clan Chat.
Hey, Purple Army, Fitzy here. Welcome to the podcast. Enjoy.
It's New Year and it's a welcome return for the Clan Conundrum as we test your Clan knowledge. And we're basing this week's teaser on our opponents this Friday. Coventry Blaze, who come to Brayhead Arena, face off is at 7:30pm. Tickets are on sale now. Coventry recently signed netminder CJ Mott, who played last season with ECHL side Allen Americans and was teammates with a former Clan player who played for the club under John Tripp in season 2017-18. The question is, who was that player? And will be revealed before the end of the show.
Hi, this is Matthew Roy. You're listening to Clan Chat.
We'll bring you gradually up to date from when we last spoke and the festive period got underway with a double header against the Sheffield Steelers, a team we're going to see a lot of in the coming weeks with more league games and the Challenge Cup semi-finals to come. At this occasion, the first of those meetings back in the 21st of December, Nolan Laporte, Lyndon Springer and a power play goal from Matt Becker put Clan on the scoreboard in the first game at the Fly DSA Arena in Sheffield, but Glasgow ended up defeated 5-3. Both teams came back to Glasgow the following night, the 22nd of December, and the league leaders again took the points in a competent 5-1 win, with Matt Becker the only player on the board to end a disappointing weekend. Zach and the team were on their travels on the 27th of December, going to Belfast Giants, and once more injuries were causing problems for the team as Giants took a 5-1 win, with Mathieu Roy scoring in the third period for a consolation goal. The following night it was another disappointment as Giants ran out 4-1 winners in Glasgow, with Roy on target again on the power play in front of what was a sellout crowd. The next game was huge though, as five Flyers came to town for the Hogmanay Classic in a meeting of two teams both bereft of form. On this occasion it was the Clan who ended 2019 in the best possible way, winning 5-1 as the team started to look like their own selves against their biggest rivals. Two from Ra to make it four goals in three games, and one each from Craig Peacock on the power play, one each from Matt Haywood and Nolan Laporte, each netting single strikes. There was disappointment when it was announced that Scott Jacklin would be leaving the club after the game, and we'll hear from him shortly, but it was a big moment for Liam Stenton, currently playing with the Clan as part of a two-way agreement with Solway Sharks, who got his first professional point with an assist in Laporte and Clan's fifth goal. We're getting closer now, and we're back to the weekend just past when Clan took on Fife again on Saturday in Kirkcaldy, and it was two from two as Glasgow hung on to take a 4-3 result after penalty shots. Rasmus Bjerrum's power play goal cancelled out Dylan Quayle's opener before Jordan Haywood put Glasgow in front. James Isaacs levelled for Fife, with Travis Earhart putting Clan 3-2 ahead. However, Mike Cazola's strike a minute and a half to go sent the game beyond regulation time. Mikael Lidhammer, Chad Rau and Laporte were all on target, and the team started 2020 the way they ended 2019, with a win over the Fife Flyers. But it was back home on Sunday to face the Sheffield Steelers again to bookend a busy spell of games, and things were going so well for the Clan, being 3-1 up after two periods. Peacock, Ra and Bjerrum had all scored, with Nikolai Lemchugov scoring in response for Steelers, but the game turned, and quickly, with four goals in the space of 3 minutes and 44 seconds, to send the points back down to Yorkshire. Jonathan Phillips, Michael Davis, Anthony DeLuca and Tanner Eberle all struck to leave Glasgow players and fans deflated after what had been a terrific performance for 45 to 50 minutes. And that's your roundup of the Clan in the last 3 weeks.
I'm Craig Peacock and you're listening to Clan Chat.
As we've mentioned, we lost a player over the festive period as Scott Jacklin moved on after only 12 games, returning to Canada after scoring one goal and picking up four assists in a short time in Scotland. He ended his Clan career with an assist in the fifth goal against Fife and Hogmanay, and by New Year's Day, he was gone. The club want to thank him for his contribution to the team in a short time, but I got a word with him after the game on New Year's Eve against Fife, and I started by asking him why he was leaving us so soon.
It's just for personal reasons. With my family, I just feel like I need to be closer to my family right now, and yeah, that's the most important thing to me is my family, obviously. You know, it's been a great experience here. Would have been nice to have some better results, but, you know, the atmospheres of the game and everybody around the team has been amazing. So, you know, I couldn't have asked for a better experience that way.
Good. I mean, you've only been here a matter of weeks and you talk so warmly about the experience here. As I look at your face, you've got a souvenir as well. But what was your first impressions when you came here?
Just, you know, everybody's into the hockey and they're passionate about the hockey. So it's cool to see the fans get into the game, and you know, there's a lot of good players, and it's been a fun experience that way. The hockey's been good. You know, the results would have been nice to get some better results and to contribute a little bit more, but I thought I found my game with the team and thought I was contributing the best way I could and just help generate energy and that kind of stuff for the team.
Well, I think it's 12 games you've played all in. You've got a few points along the way. You rounded up your time here with that assist for the final goal, the fifth goal as well. That must have been, for you personally, that must have been a nice way to kind of sign off.
Yeah, I wanted to go out and have a good last game and leave it all out there, because you never know when your last game will be. But hopefully I can still play hockey, but we'll see what the future holds.
So what are the guys like in there from your point of view? I've heard they're a very welcoming bunch. Is that something you would agree with?
Yeah, I thought, you know, they're all great guys. And, you know, when you come into, sometimes when you come into a team, it's hard to adjust. But everybody was welcoming and, you know, it's a family. So when a new player comes in, you got to make him feel welcome so that he can do the best he can to help the team win. And I thought the guys did a great job doing that for me.
And your experience of ice hockey in this country is certainly limited. What have you made of the standard you've been playing in the last few weeks?
I thought it's good, great hockey. You know, there's lots of it's got a lot of North American flavor to it. So there's, you know, it's a little bit more rough than maybe some other leagues in Europe, which I thought kind of suited my game. You know, being able to finish your checks and stuff without always getting a penalty, you know, was kind of a nice thing to have.
Without knowing what your plans are for the future, would you perhaps entertain a move back to the UK if the right move came along?
Yeah, I mean, you never know with hockey, right? I mean, it's taken me so many places already, and yeah, I've had a great experience here, but, you know, we'll see what happens with life, you know. It's stuff changes every day, and you never know. So.
Well, Scott, thanks. It was good to meet you. It was good to see you playing out there, and thanks for everything.
Thanks.
I'm Nolan Laporte, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Scott Jacklin, who left the Clan at the new year. Very best for the future, Scott. We're playing catch-up with some of the announcements made ahead of Matt Haywood's testimonial, and we've got quite a few to get up to speed on as the game countdown hurtles into its final month. Josh Greaveson, Mike Will, Shane Lust, Ash Goldie, Matt's brother Lee, and Alex Levitt were all announced as the star-studded lineup just got that little bit more star-studded. Ash and Lee, who get married over the festive period, is currently on honeymoon, so they'll be on the show very soon. As will Alex Levitt, who we can let off after his wife Lindsay gave birth to their daughter, Mallory May, so congratulations to the Levitt family on their latest arrival. Anyway, as we start our MH11 testimonial roundup, we hear from Josh Greaveson, who played for us in the 2017-18 season, making 25 appearances and picking up one assist, and he went on to join Solway Sharks on a two-way deal, which continued into last season. These days, he's put hockey on the back burner to complete his studies in law, but I asked how it felt to look forward to returning to Brayhead Arena for Matt's big night.
Yeah, it's going to be great fun, obviously. I'm looking forward to getting back, and it's a big honour to be asked to play, so I'm really excited, and it'll be a good day for Matty.
Absolutely. What kind of influence was he on you in your year at the Clan a couple of years back?
He was a big influence on me, you know, being a young Brit. He was one of the obviously more established Brits and more established guys in the team, and played in the league for a lot of years, so he was a big influence on me, and you know, helped me and pushed me in the right direction, so it was a great guy to have in the room.
And of course, you're going to be lining up alongside some pretty well-known faces and names as well. What's that going to be like for you?
Yeah, it's going to be cool, obviously. Way back when I was younger, some of these guys were playing for the Clan when I was, you know, just a kid going to watch, so it'd be pretty cool to play alongside them that night, you know.
Have you had any discussion about the night itself, what's to be expected, or has that not happened yet? That's still a little bit far away.
Not a lot has happened yet, sort of on that front. But no, I'm excited for it. Should be good, but whatever it brings.
So have you started training yet?
I've done a little bit. I'm not long recovering from an ankle surgery myself, so I'll try and get back on the ice a little bit beforehand, and see if I can dust off the old skates and whatnot.
One thing I like to ask the guys that are getting involved in the game is their first impressions of Matt when they first met him. What was yours when you think back to when you met Mr. Haywood?
I mean, right from the get go, he's obviously just a genuine, really, really great guy. Like I say, he looked out for me, especially the first couple of months and whatnot. When I joined the clan, so yeah, like I say, right from the get go, you knew he was just a great guy. Hockey wise, he obviously always was 110%, put everything in and just, led from the front. He was a great guy to have in the room.
And what's the biggest memory you've got of Matt? If I mention his name to you, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
I don't know if you were actually around him. We did a picture day, and there's a picture of me, him, and Sully. It looks like they've caught me like a fish. I think it floated around Facebook and Twitter for a while, but that always pops into my head as a memory. Whenever I see it come up on Facebook as a memory, I have a good chuckle. So I think that's probably the one.
Good. Now let's catch up with you, Josh. It's been a couple of years since we've seen you. We know you went off to play at Solway last year. What are you up to nowadays?
So I've actually taken a bit of time out from hockey at the minute, just finishing off university and seeing where that takes me over the next year or so. So that's going to be my sort of main focus at the minute.
What is it you're studying?
Law.
Oh.
So it's been a tough couple of years, but no, we're getting there. The end is in sight, which is good.
So you're planning to return to hockey then? Is that something you're looking to do, or are you going to play it by ear as the year goes on?
I'll probably play it by ear, to be honest. It's not really something I've made my mind up on yet. Obviously, I think that I've now obviously kind of put law first as my sort of primary career, but we'll see. And never say never, as they say.
But hey, you keep your hand in with this game in February, who knows?
Yeah, that's the one.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Springer, and you're listening to The Clan Chat.
Josh Graveson looking forward to returning for Matt Haywood's testimonial next month. The next player announced is one older clan fans will remember. See what I did there? And it was revealed that Mike Will, a one-time clan netminder, would also be returning to Glasgow for the big night. Mike is nowadays a backup at Guildford Flames and played for what was Brayhead Clan between 2010 and 2014, instantly becoming firm friends with Matt Haywood during that time. Now, Mike didn't play that often due to the netminders that he worked with, but he did love his time here, and he actually ended his clan career playing in the playoff finals weekend in Nottingham when Clan beat Fife Flyers 7-6 in a battle for third place. Back to the present, and it was all about his return, and Mike revealed how big a deal it was for him to be coming back.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be going back up to Glasgow for the testimonial. It's a big honour to be playing for Matt in the testimonial. Obviously, he's a great guy, and he's been there for 10 years now. So yeah, we lived together for 3 of those 4 years we were together, so we became pretty close, and it's amazing to have seen him develop not only as a person but as a hockey player as well through the years, obviously as a teammate and then as a rival, I guess, for the for the other six. But he deserves it, absolutely 100%. It's great that he's getting that recognition, and it's also amazing to have seen on social media the fans responding and all getting behind it, and there's no one better I can think of that deserves it more than Haywood.
When you think back to that team starting out back in 2010, did you ever think that Matt would still be there 10 years on?
No, I mean, I guess you don't think like that, especially when we were younger and, we were just excited to be there, and it was both of us came in as rookies, we'd never really played pro before, so we were both on the same kind of boat. All learning, and obviously Bruce Richardson took us in, and we learned a lot that first year about how to be and as a professional and how to be as a person and how to carry ourselves. So yeah, it was a really big learning experience for both of us, and we both went through a lot of similar things that year. But he's obviously settled down up there, and it's been great to see, not only as I said, like as a person, but with his family. And he really has become, part of the furniture up there in Glasgow.
Very much so. When I look at Matt now, when I think of him back then, when I first met him and got to know him, I find he's matured. He's a very mature guy now compared to what he was, and I suppose he's gone from being a kid to a man in that respect. Do you see that in him as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I remember the first time we ever met, he was shouting up. He was with his dad in the car park, and I'd already moved in. He was moving his stuff in. And there was this blonde kid who looked very, very shy and in the car park. And I went down and said hello. And then he was living in the apartments next door. I helped him with some of his stuff up. And that was, and from there, obviously, we became really close friends. And what was this? He was just a kid when he came in. I was a little bit older. And now to see him mature, I'd say he's more mature than me now. So he's overtaken me.
So you said you live with him. What was his bad habits? Come on, dig the dirt on him, Mike. What have you got on him?
I don't know. He didn't really have any. To be honest, he was pretty clean. I can't say much to his room. I didn't go in his room ever. But we always kept the living room clean. And we used to hang out a lot, watch a lot of TV shows. He'd have a lot of tea. It was a pleasure to live with, and I guess I'll save some of the dirt for the actual testimonial, and we'll go through some stuff that night, but it was an absolute pleasure to live with.
Good. Now, you've been away for a good few years now, Mike, just to sort of reflect on your overall experience of your time at Brayhead as it was back then. When you look at it now, and you've come back plenty of times with the teams you've played for since, are you amazed at just how much it's grown in that space of time from your first days there to where we are right now?
Yeah, it's fantastic to see the fan base has grown and the club has grown as an identity has grown a lot as well. So, yeah, it's really good to have seen, and obviously being a part of that from day one when I was running the community program and getting kids involved and bringing families in. It was obviously close to heart for me to see that happen. So, yeah, it's been amazing to see the progression now and how 10 years later, how much you can achieve as an organization with the right people in place. It's been amazing to see, and I'm still really proud of it. Like, I love going up there, and it's always nice to see the families that I used to coach, or people that potentially got into the hockey because I was up there, and the fans that still remember me up there is amazing as well. So it's very close to my heart, and it's really great to see.
And of course, there's the prospect of all sorts of guys that have played for the club through different years and different eras as well. Is it going to be fascinating for you to meet guys or play with guys that you kind of know through reputation, or you maybe know through passing from your times and coming back?
Yeah, it's going to be fun to hear the stories, because obviously everyone's played for the clan during different times, and I'll know a certain amount of people, but some of the more recent guys I have only played against, so it'll be nice to meet them, and everyone will be exchanging stories, I'm sure, and we'll have a few drinks, and yeah, it'll be good to reminisce and talk about the good old days.
Now, one question I like to ask when we get near the end of these interviews is to ask guys like yourself to come up with a memory. As soon as you hear Matt Haywood's name, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? So what's yours, Mike? What have you got for us?
It's tea. I don't know why.
It's tea.
I remember having lots of tea. What else have we got for Haywood?
Cricket?
Yeah, well, cricket's up there. I'm trying to think of something that's not X-rated. The only things I can think of, I'm not going to be saying on this podcast. What else have we got? I'll come back to you.
That's fine.
Well, I'll text you.
We'll hear all about it in the testimonial.
I'm Nolan Laporte, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
That was Mike Will coming back and raring to go for Matt's big night. Now we move on to the next player, travelling the miles and distance to come back for one night only. And the one thing I remember most about this player was the time I sent a lovey-dovey text message to my wife and sent it to him. Thankfully, I haven't scared off Shane Lust, and there's another one I caught up with this week to discuss next month's game. Shane played for the team in the 2013-14 season, playing under Ryan Finnerty, and we discussed his memories of the club and with Matt, but I started by asking if he was counting down the days until he returns.
Yeah, no, it's super exciting, and chatting with all the boys, we got a group chat going, so it's going to be an exciting time here for Matt and the organisation.
I'm glad you mentioned the group chat. I've heard about this before. Who's all in it? Is it everybody who's taken part in the game? All the old players that have come from different times of the clan's history? Is it just you and some of the guys you played with?
Even some of the guys I didn't play with. Yeah, it's most of the guys in the game. So, it's good to catch up with even Finner and Barry and the guys that are in different time zones. But, it's talking about old stories and good times and how to, you know, make this a good time for Matty.
Of course it is, and that's what it's all about. Matt Haywood, of course, has made quite an impression on a lot of your guys' lives, you know, which is why you're all coming back. Take us back to when you first met Matt. What was your first impressions of him, and where did your friendship blossom from?
I would say, obviously, Jade Galbraith was a huge part of that. When I he'd played the year before, and he was kind of the reference of for me when I went over there, and he said, guys to hang out with and be a part of, and was Matty's name came up quite a bit that Jade kind of took him up under his wing as a younger British player, and so yeah, right away I think we me and Matty hit it off, and even from now we stay in touch quite often, and I think that friendship grew quite a bit over the year, and we stay in touch. So it was good right off the hop. I kind of knew who he was, and we hit it off, so it's good.
I take it then it's no surprise to you the amount of people, the amount of love there is for Matt, not just from former teammates but the fans as well, and the build up to this what's going to be a special night for him. I take it that's no surprise to you at all.
Yeah, no, I kind of, as the years went on and still following the team, I knew this day was going to come for him. And, Matty's such a loyal guy and, wanted to be part of the organization. And, now he's kind of the face of the organization. And he's definitely a guy that, defines what takes to be a Clan. And, it was no surprise that he got to wear the C this year. So.
Now, your year in Glasgow was in the season 2013-14, Ryan Finnerty's first year in charge at the Clan. What was your experience like as a whole, and did it live up to the expectations you had in going there? You mentioned Jade obviously was a point of reference from his experience.
Yeah, I know. Just hearing the stories of how the fans were, the Purple Army, and the way the organization was ran. I was got really excited, and now that I sit back and haven't played for 3 or 4 years, I look back as that year being one of my favorite, if not my favorite year of my 5 years of playing pro. I just have so many memories, and I think that team was super close, and I think that reflected on how we did on the ice too, making the Final Four weekend, and we had a pretty good season that year. And to stay in touch with a lot of the guys, having Jonesy out at my wedding this year, and we stay in touch quite a bit, and still visiting guys that you played with and making time for them. So it just shows the big impact that they had on our lives, and that team was it was good. So
what would you say is a favourite memory of that year in Glasgow? You're going to say the playoff weekend. I think that's a standout one for a lot of guys that played in that year. But was there anything else in that season that stands out as a favourite moment for you during your time in the west of Scotland?
I just felt like that team was really close. And I think if we could have, stuck together one more year as a full team, it would have been even more successful. But that's how pro hockey works. It's kind of 1 year deals and stuff. But I enjoyed playing under Finnerty, and I think he did a good job of recruiting a good team. But my standout thing was just I think how close we were on and off the ice, and we had some injuries and stuff, but that Final Four weekend still stands out for me. Beating out Nottingham and going to that Final Four weekend was a memory I will stick with me forever.
It's curious you mentioned if you'd stayed together for another year. Your second year in Scotland was with Dundee Stars, so you actually played against the Clan the following year, the team that was. What was it like coming up against some of the guys in that team?
It was fun. I always got up for those games, and that year was very good, with Matt Keith and Myers, and recruiting it just I think after that kind of that success we had after that year, more and more you know, players heard about the Brayhead Clan and wanted to come to Glasgow. So it was, just how it's a first-class organization, and it was getting some top-notch players. So no, it was wanted to win, but you know, I still had a lot of buddies on the team. I mean, if there was a weekend off, I was up there, they would come visit me. So, you know, guys like Scott Arson and Jonesy and Matty Haywood and those guys. So I always made time throughout the year, even though I was against them, to hang out quite a bit when we got the chance.
Also remember, you got a little bit of television work that year. You played in Glasgow. I got some work as well that night from the same company, Premier Sports, covered the game. You got a chance to sit as an analyst with presenter Aaron Murphy. How much did you enjoy that experience when you look back on it?
That was fun. We had some good laughs about it, and I still kind of follow Murph a little bit, and you know, they did a good job, and that was really big for the league, you know, how they had the games on TV, and got to, you know, even if we weren't playing, we could watch other premier sports games and stuff, and it was fun. I wouldn't say that it was a job that I was a career path afterwards, but I think it was a cool opportunity to get to do that.
I've still got the photo of the three of us, I should add. But anyway, back to the task at hand, obviously Matt's testimonial coming up next month. What are you expecting from the night? What do you expect to see and experience on your return?
Honestly, just being back in that arena with all the fans and, you know, making the night about Matty, because he deserves it, and how much time he's put in loyalty into the organization, that I just want it to be a memorable night for him, and something that, you know, he can look back on and be like, that was one of, you know, the most special nights I've had as a Brayhead Clan or Glasgow Clan now. You know, and I think that's what it is, but I think it's bringing the, you know, the 20 guys that Matt was, you know, closest with to having them out there. It's going to be exciting, and you know, it's not just the game event. I think quite a few guys are there for, you know, almost a week or 5 days, so I think getting to spend some time with Matty and like I said, making it memorable for him, and catching up with all the old guys. I'm counting down the days to get over there, so it's going to be exciting for sure.
Now, you mentioned the guys that you have played with that you're looking forward to reconnecting with when you're back over. Is there anyone in that WhatsApp group you're quite keen to meet up with and you know, finally meet face-to-face?
In the group chat there's different personalities and stuff, but getting to see like Chris Frank, and you know, I never played with Matt Keith and Myers, but when I was hanging out with the boys the year I was in Dundee, got to meet them and you know, build a relationship with them, and now, you know, Stephen Myers is not far from where I live, and you know, we're both in the oil and gas industry, so I was chatting with him a little bit just about work stuff, and you never know where your career path's going to go and who you're going to run into, but Alex Levitt, you know, he seems like quite the character too in the group chat here, so I guess he just had a baby the other night, but it's pretty fun. And then even, you know, just, you know, back to seeing, you know, some of the British guys that, you know, I get to play with Wilsey and stuff. So I think it's just going to be a great event overall, and it's not just about the game, but spending, three or four days with everyone to have some fun. And I think that banquet on Sunday will be fun too, and a little roast on Matty. So.
So I wanted to ask you, and I've been asking all the guys this question, it's always the one I end with. When I mention Matt Haywood to you, what's the first thing that comes to mind in terms of any positive memories you can think of, or a first impression, anything like that?
Welcoming, you know, like I said many of times, loyal. It's crazy, just, you know, I only played with him one season, but following him, how much he's grown in 10 years, And then comes to, you know, be a captain. And I think that's what I saw in him back when I first played with him, that, you know, one day Matty was going to be the leader. His character, him just, you know, welcoming the new guys, you know, he gets to play with quite a few new guys every year. But, he was always from day one. You know, he made me feel welcome there and made my experience overseas a very good one and memorable. So that's, you know, what we can do. I feel like least we can do for him is make this a memorable night for him, because he made a lot of good memories for players like myself.
Now, you played for the Clan up to 2014. You had a year in Dundee, then you went back to Canada. What have you been up to in the years in between then and now as I speak to you?
I got into coaching right when I got back, so I was coaching midget AAA for the last 3 years, so that's the 15, 16, 17 year olds in Calgary, and then I now assistant coach with my old college team here at State, and then I've been working oil and gas, so I'm a sales guy and kind of an entertainer. I take out clients to different events and get to golf and play a lot of hockey, and I think I'm kind of in that dream job that, you know, I get to still do a lot of stuff that I love. And now that me and Danny are married, you know, I don't have any children yet, but I think that'll be in the future. And so coaching takes up my evenings, but it works out good, and still travel quite a bit on weekends for games and stuff. But after we leave Glasgow, I'm actually going on my honeymoon, so wow. I'll be out in Europe for 3 weeks after the game there. So,
excellent. And finally, I take it training's now underway with the games coming up. You're coaching, so you're still on the rink, you're still skating. I take it the fitness has started already.
Yeah, I play in the oil and gas. It's called the Rocky Petroleum League here in town. So my company sponsors one of the teams, and yeah, I try to get out, you know, at least once a week. And then, you know, there's a lot of noon hour skates at lunchtime, so, you know, customers come out and we go for skates. So I've been on ice quite a bit, and, you know, get a chance to hop in some line rushes with the boys at my college. I get, you know, been on the ice quite a bit, so I'm looking forward to it for sure. So maybe I have to hit the gym here for the next couple of weeks before the game.
I'm Scott Jansky from the Glasgow Clan, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
That was Shane Lust, another Clan old boy. Let's combine past and present and get the last word from this edition from head coach Zach Fitzgerald as we look ahead to the weekend when Clan host the Coventry Blaze on Friday, then head to Sheffield to take on the Steelers on Sunday. We also spoke about the recent form, the league as a whole, and other subjects along the way, but I asked Fitzy firstly if he had a chance to enjoy Christmas and New Year.
I did, thanks, yeah. I hope you did too. It's special to spend it with your family. You try to get that time, and we only had a short little break there for Christmas, but it's a good time to, you know, reset the mind a little bit, focus on family, and, you know, my little one's almost conscious of, you know, what's going on. She sees Santa, says ho ho, and she knows the reindeer and Rudolph, so it's pretty funny to see all that stuff going. And no, it's fun to open presents with her, and then the new year is just nice and chill with some macaroni and cheese and some Prosecco, you know, bring in the new year.
Excellent. And of course, the team still rolls on it as well, of course, with that run of form leading up to Christmas, which wasn't so well. But you've had a couple of wins since. Is the mood a little bit better around the team now that you've got those wins and that monkey off your back?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've been fortunate with a good group where, you know, the attitude has been good. But obviously, when things aren't going well, it's tough on everybody. You know, it weighs on the mind. You maybe lose a little confidence. And you know, to be fair, we played some really good teams in December, and, you know, they're tough competition. You know, it didn't go right for us at times, but that reset there at Christmas, I think, was good for us to come back and have a couple of really big games. You know, I thought we took some strides against Belfast, but I think it really, you know, came together against Fife, and obviously a big rival. You know, a few byes missing on both sides, but overall very happy with the steps we've taken. And, you know, we came out firing against Sheffield, and unfortunately we kind of let her go there in the last 10, but I thought, you know, for the 50 minutes of that game, we really controlled it and showed them how we can play.
And injuries, of course, have played a big part of the season. You haven't been able to ice a full team since probably back at the start of the season as well. How frustrating is that for you? Or are you used to it now because it's been happening for so long now?
Yeah, used to it, I guess, is a good one. But no, I don't know if we've had a full roster out on the ice yet this season. I'd have to actually look back. It's just so much has happened that I'm not quite sure. I would doubt we have. But, you know, the guys have really shown their competitive level and wanting to play hard. And, you know, these guys want that ice time. They want lots of ice time. And when you're down bodies, you're going to get some more ice time. But as much as you want it, it can be weighing on the body, wear and tear. You know, they're all carrying little injuries as well. And, you know, extra minutes is a ton of fun. But when you're going back-to-back games every weekend and you get, you know, some fast-paced hockey going on, it can be tough. But, you know, I think, you know, at times it's affected us. Unfortunately, we've caught the vicious cycle of the flu bug going on too, which is tough to control. And we tried to do that, but it just kept biting us. And, you know, hopefully this weekend, you know, we'll most likely have full import roster. We're still missing Craig Moore, and it's been unfortunate for him with a couple of injuries this year. But like I've kind of mentioned before, these are things you have to deal with in the pro hockey game. It's an unfortunate aspect to it, but you just move on. And, you know, I think some guys have really stepped up, and including, you know, Matt Haywood, I think, has had a really good year, and he's, you know, he's played all throughout the lineup on different lines, and, you know, Lidhammer's throughout the lineup, and, you know, everybody's kind of played with everybody, which can be hard at times because realistically we haven't been able to practice with these lines every week. So to find, you know, some gelling and guys getting used to each other has been hard in that aspect. But otherwise, the guys have a great attitude and competitive edge for sure.
Now, injuries are one thing. Guys are quite happy to go around the arena if they're carrying a knock, but sickness is quite different. A virus, you have to kind of quarantine that as best you can. It's just about keeping guys away from their teammates, aren't they? How difficult has that been to manage at times?
Yeah, definitely hard. I mean, we're trying to smother it by, you know, definitely quarantining those guys that are sick. But unfortunately, you know, it goes through the kids, it goes through the partners, and it's just a vicious cycle that can go on and on. And, you know, I've had to even tell the guys, like, look, please stay home for an extra day, and please, you know, have your partner stay home for an extra day or whatever you can possibly do. We've got to try to smother this. And it just kept catching us. And, you know, we're not even through flu season yet, but, you know, we've got guys healthy again. And you're right, that's hard. You know, you got deal with the groins and the knees and the shoulders and stuff, but flu is a tough one, especially for the players. You know, they're just like, wow, you know, I want to be there, but I can't. And you have to look out for the rest of the team because just in such close quarters, it's too risky.
Now, as a result, you've had to make a few changes to the lines as you've went. You've given guys a bit more responsibility. Guys like Liam Stenton have come in, done a fantastic job. He's currently with the GB under-20s right now. But Matt Cowlett's impressed people in the last two or three games as well. You've put him in the third line, and he's certainly bringing a different energy. Were you expecting that from him?
Definitely. I think he's been hungry for that all year. And credit to him for grabbing the opportunity and really, really thriving with the extra minutes. And I thought he played very well. You know, my main message to him was just do the little things right, be responsible. You know, I don't expect Mac Hollett to go out there and score goals. If he scores goals, it's a bonus. If he gets, you know, offensive opportunities, bonus. And, you know, I literally told him these things. And, you know, for me, for him, he's still a young man. He still has to pay his dues. He's got to work hard. He's got to do the little things to earn, you know, respect throughout the lineup. And I think the guys really cheered him on, and they really, really pumped him up there. And I thought it was great to see that. I'm very pleased for Mac. And, you know, young Liam is really excites me. He's, you know, he's a great prospect for this team. And I hope he continues on the path he's going, because I look forward to working with him closer.
Good. Now let's look ahead to the weekend. The two games are on Friday and Sunday. Starting on Friday, Coventry Blaze come to town. They're a team the Clan don't have a good record against this year. They've scored 17 goals against us in two games. So I suppose it's obvious to say we know where their threat lies.
Yeah, you know, they're a tricky one. It was kind of like, I guess I would compare it to beginning of the year against Dundee, where we just, you know, we didn't quite understand the way to play against their style of hockey, and we found a way against Dundee, and now it's just a matter of, you know, finding that way against Coventry. You know, they're a dangerous team. Every team in this league is dangerous in their own way. And yeah, they got our number a little bit. I think, you know, they were a bit excited there to end that streak of ours, which any team would want to do. You know, so that was a tough start, and then we went down there and had a real tough night against them in Coventry. They just haven't seen our best. You know, they haven't seen how we play, and I think the last 2 weeks we're finding that stride again. We've seen the light. We've seen what we can do. We can see how great we can be at times, but it's just a matter of putting that back together for the 60 minutes that we were doing for the first, you know, 2 months there. So, you know, Coventry haven't seen us yet, and I look forward to the challenge.
Of course, you spoke very positively on Sunday, despite the what happened in the third period, the game against Sheffield. I take it you've had a chance to look back at it. How much more encouraged are you by what you've seen from your team on that performance?
Yeah, like I kind of mentioned earlier, I think we controlled that game for 50 minutes. You know, we come out flying. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what hit them. And we have to stick to that way. We have to stick to that plan. We have to stick to how we play. It's doing the simple things, you know. They had a couple odd man rushes in the first period, which, you know, was of our own doing. They were lucky that we didn't come out of that period up three goals. You know, their goalie makes some amazing saves. We had, I don't know, I think we had 10 or so scoring chances just there in the first period, which is, you know, quite high for one period. And we just bossed that. And then, you know, the second period, once again, was good. Special teams were good all night. And then, you know, we have a lapse there in the third. And, you know, they score a couple back-to-back-to-back, and it just caught us at the wrong time. We just, you know, and then they get, I think it was a power play goal, and then they get a lucky bounce there coming down the wall, goes off a body and beats Killeen. You know, if that doesn't hit something, Killeen makes that save. You know, that's the way hockey is, but, you know, other teams are getting those bounces against us, and, you know, hopefully the hockey gods grant us a few going forward here.
And of course, you'd like that when you go to Sheffield on Sunday, your old team, and it seems to be right in the middle of a series with the Steelers right now between league games and Challenge Cup games coming as well. They have quite the threat on them, certainly.
Yeah, you know, they're a good team. You know, they're fortunate to be able to bring in long-term players for long-term injuries, and, you know, they're able to do that. You know, injuries is a different story down there compared to us, where we would just play down. You know, they're able to bring in numbers. But they saw how we can play this past week. And I think they know the threat that we can be. You know, even down in Sheffield there on the 22nd of December, you know, we played great. They score a couple power play goals against us, and that was the difference in the game. Otherwise, that's a close, probably 3-3 game going into the final minutes, if not 4-3 us, if they don't get those power play goals. And, you know, credit to them, that's sometimes a game changer, and it was at that time. You know, and then they come up to Glasgow, and they give us a run for our money. And, you know, then the last time we're here, like I mentioned, we played them well. You know, and it's quite interesting to have so many games against them leading up to this Challenge Cup. As you say, it's almost like a mini spread out playoff series, and, you know, each team's kind of getting to know each other well here. So if we put together a full 60 minutes, I like our chances.
So just to put you on the spot a little bit, you've got the league game on Sunday and the Challenge Cup semi-final first leg on Wednesday, which is a home game compared to Sunday, which is an away game. If you were to be offered one victory out of those two, which one would you take?
Of course, Challenge Cup game. No, I think, you know, realistically, we want to do as well as we can in the league, and we want to get the points where we can. You know, essentially, it determines playoff positions, and we want to do as well as we can in the league. But, you know, this Challenge Cup is realistic for us, and we have a great opportunity here on our doorstep. So I'm hoping we can get off to a good start next week.
Hey, Clan fans, Craig Moore here, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
And that was the head coach, Zach Fitzgerald. We're starting to round things up here, and we better solve this week's Clan Conundrum, where we asked about Coventry Blaze netminder CJ Mott, who'd recently joined the club. He played last season with ECHL side Allan Americans and was teammates with a former Clan player who played for the club under John Tripp in season 2017-18. The question was, quite simply, who was that player? The answer was Jacob Doty. That's your Clan Conundrum, and we'll have another one for you next time.
Hey, this is Matt Hayward, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
That's us for this edition of Clan Chat, and a quick reminder to you to buy your tickets for Friday's game against Coventry Blaze. Face-off is at 7:30 p.m, so get those now at clanihc.com. Tickets are also still available for Matt Hayward's testimonial on Tuesday the 4th of February, and you'll get those on Ticketmaster, so make sure you get those to be part of what's going to be a very special night. For the latest news around the club, check out the website, and if you haven't yet, don't forget to like the official Facebook page or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at ClanIHC. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Audioboom, and the newest episode will download automatically to your device. Please leave a review as well and tell us what you think, what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear, and all feedback is welcomed. I want to thank Josh Grieveson, Mike Will, Shane Lust, Scott Jacklin and Zach Fitzgerald for their time this week, and of course, a big thanks to producer Stuart Priest for another great job. Finally, my biggest thanks go to you for listening and downloading, and we'll be back soon for more from around the Glasgow Clan. I'm Craig Anderson, we'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.